What's going on, everyone? Welcome to this week's episode of River City 93. I'm your host, as always, Elliot Barr, and it's joining me is two guys that I probably drank enough Hennessy for them for the summer. It's Mr. Matt and Shanier. How are you two doing?
I don't like Hennessy no more.
I still love it. Don't be like the broadcaster who said that the loser had to drink Hennessy as some sort of punishment. Because that's one not true at all. And Hennessy's a great drink when you mix it with the right beverage.
Yeah.
Not after a loss, though. We don't like losses.
Drinking Hennessy right now would just make me depressed. Just... Yeah.
I mean, it'd be fine. How are you, Matt?
I'll get over it.
I'm doing fine. Before we even get started, need to openly declare, because people have asked me to do this at some point in the show, so I figured no point in wasting any time right here. River City 93, we do not endorse big old bear hugs to opposing players who score goals on us right in front of our own fans. Those people are the enemy. We do not wish them well. We do not want them to feel good about themselves. And I'll talk more about why we don't want them to feel good about themselves in a little bit. Shame on that move.
Hey, first and foremost, if anyone has an issue with me, if you do not have my number, you do not have an issue with me. So I'll put it like that. Secondly, it was after the game. I was pissed. I ain't gonna lie. I was more disappointed at our players than I was at theirs, because I was like, and we'll talk about it grandly, how this game went, how this game should have played out. But, yeah.
Still on the field, still in uniform, still the enemy.
Fair enough.
If you want to dap them up at the post-game bar or whatever, whatever.
I don't think they went to a post-game bar. I'm not going to lie to you. I sort of remember the rest of the night afterwards. I almost fell asleep in bingo. So that tells you how tired I was. I think I fell asleep right beside the DJ booth watching a UFC fight. I was that tired afterwards. The tailgate, let me say something, man. That's probably the most fun I've had at the tailgate in a long time. I think we had like a bunch of shot skis out there. It's a lot of adult beverages flowing around, and I had a great time. Shanier, you missed it.
Yeah.
You were daddy duty.
Yeah, I definitely heard about it, the daddy duty. Like you said, daddy duty. We ended up getting there. We're actually really late. It's funny because actually my wife was telling me that hanging out with your wife at the game, Alexa, and everyone walking past them were like, oh, Elliot had a lot of fun at the tailgate today. So, I get that from stories.
I had a bunch of fun up to the 77th minute, which, by the way, all right, stop detracting from it. Let's go ahead. Let's talk about this game.
You were having fun watching a lot of that game?
I actually did watch a lot of it. So let's see. This is like one of the three times I might capo ever again this season. Try to get back into it. I realized how old and rusted I was. Like by the 50th minute, I was like, bro, I am tired. My arms hurt. My lungs burn. I was like, I don't care.
I feel so bad and sorry for you. You're what, like 30?
Yeah, it's like, I don't get the stamina for this no more. I'm not a young 20-year-old.
Shut up.
I was like, some time out. I was like, whoo, I need it.
Nobody feels bad for 30-year-old. Oh, I'm tired.
No, they shouldn't. I'm not saying you should be tired for me. I feel bad for myself. I'm like, damn, I can't go a full 90 no more. Oh, God, it didn't mean. Oh, all right. Enough of that. Enough joking on me. By the way, I ain't gonna lie. I'm so glad we did not record yesterday because I spent the entire day. By the way, happy Father's Day, Shanair. Happy Juneteenth to you as well.
Thank you.
Happy Juneteenth to you too, Matt.
Enjoy the federal holiday.
There you go. Oh, but I'm definitely glad we did not record yesterday because I was in no shape to record. I spent the entire 24 hours on the couch. Did not move. I hydrated, and I think the U.S. Open Cup was on yesterday. Fell asleep during that. I fell asleep during everything, man.
Which one? The Canada game?
No. I think I watched the first 30 minutes of it, and then I fell right back asleep.
Okay. At least it wasn't the Mexico game, because the Mexico game, that was a crazy one. But yeah. That was on Friday, right?
I think so.
Thursday.
Time doesn't work very well for me as a dad. So basically, we can say congratulations to USMNT for getting that Nations League Cup.
Yeah. And then in 5 days, I have to turn around and hate them because they play Jamaica. Yay.
Here's the flaw in your logic. You don't have to hate them.
I don't, but I have to root for Jamaica, so I can't like the USA.
Here's the thing. That game. You don't have to root for Jamaica.
I mean, I do.
Yeah. No, I understand that. When USA plays Haiti, I gotta support Haiti.
Yeah, it's a love hate relationship with them. All right, but enough about international teams and all that stuff. Let's talk about this game that happened, the Henny Derby. 48 hours removed from it, I think. One, me personally, I got a better feel for this game, a better perspective of how things kind of played out. Biggest omission in the lineup, no Michael Hornsby for this game, so Jake Meacham pops over here in that spot. Outside of that, lineup's pretty much the same.
I think the other noticeable piece in there is Akira was actually playing.
Yes.
I didn't think there was a chance in hell that was going to happen.
I didn't either. I thought, because I swore he broke his nose the last game last week. I thought it was gone for at least this week. But surprisingly enough, he was in there. And then also the new addition, Ryan Sirikowski. I hope I said that correctly.
Pretty close.
Also made his debut in this game as well. I think around the 60th minute. We'll talk about his how he did so far. But do you guys want to start off with your two ups, two downs? Or kind of use that to kind of talk about this match?
Why not?
All right. So, Shanair, I'll let you start. What's your big up so far for this game?
In this game?
Yeah.
In this game, I have to give a big thumbs up to Akira. He made a lot of saves. To be honest with you, this game was a bit of a conundrum for me because it was open, but it wasn't open. I mean, both goalkeepers were busy, but it wasn't that open of a game, which is weird because usually it's either one or the other. But Akira made some phenomenal saves. He really definitely kept the game really close in the back. As did Shipman, but of course, you know, I'm doing my two up for the kickers. I don't care about the other guys. My second thumbs up, I would say, would be Belmar, who did show some danger on that right side. He hit the woodwork once. He definitely was giving forward Madison's left side some trouble. Every time we went forward, you could see that they were struggling to keep a man on him, to keep him covered. He was always finding space out wide. unfortunately, we weren't able to capitalize on him finding that space out wide, but he did put in his work.
Okay, fair enough. Matt, what about you, man? You got any up or you want to go with a down to start off with?
I mean, I've already said my biggest up from the game is that Akira was healthy and able to play. I wouldn't have been surprised if he was out for a month or so after, taking that boot to the head last week in California. Talking with him in the post game, interview, said it, really got lucky. It was just a kind of a cut over his eye, so he was able to, no concussion at all. So I think that's the biggest takeaway. We know Will is a perfectly good backup, but I'd rather have two healthy keepers and one healthy keeper.
Yeah.
And we know that Akira adds something extra and something special to this team. So having him in the game, and Shneer made reference to that, especially those first 5 minutes of the second half. I think he had at least two, maybe three saves in quick succession right there. That helped to level things out when it looked like the team was getting ready to get blitzed and go down real quick, once the second half started.
Yeah. That was the thing that kind of caught my attention the most. The first half Richmond Kickers and the second half Richmond Kickers, especially the first give or take 8-10 minutes of the second half. I don't know what happened when the team came out at halftime. Like, the first half, this team seemed to be in control. They seemed to be taking chances, especially near the end of the half. I think we had Nils Cross that went into the box dangerously. And you had Gordon having a couple of chances. Belmar hit the post. And I don't know, maybe Matt has made a couple of adjustments, but it seemed like it seemed to take Richmond a while to correct it, to get back to controlling this game. Because I looked at the halftime stats, and it was like Richmond had 56% possession, 8 shots, and 3 of them were on target, versus Madison had like 6 shots total and none were on target.
Yeah, they're the one that hit the post in the first half.
Yeah. So yeah. I don't know. Maybe that was something weird. But I think one of the guys that probably stood out for Richmond the most, to be honest with you, both of the fullbacks, Simon and Jake, they probably did the best job on the team. I know Jake had the mistake, but if you take that one mistake out of it, I think for him being put in the position he was in, he did a good job. He did enough going forward that you felt like it was a good threat there. He contained Gebhardt and Bartman for the most part on his side. I think Fitch, at this point, Fitch is getting up there with like Ani, where it's like, if you don't hear his name, he's done a fantastic job. Like, he's doing his part. Really, about the first half, y'all, I want to ask y'all this question. It seemed like the only thing that was missing was the final third product. And Matt, I know you talked to Coach Sawoski after the game. What was his thoughts about like the final third product? The build-up seems great, but that final ball is missing.
Yeah, I mean, I think what he's saying is, I don't think it's a surprise to anybody who's been watching the games, it's not good enough in the final third. We're not creating the chances. We have a great finisher in Emmy, but he's not getting the service to be able to even have a chance to finish right now. So I think that's part of why they brought in Sierakowski. I think that's part of why we keep seeing different combinations up front, because they're looking for something that's going to be able to click. They're looking for something that's going to be able to be consistent in chance creation. Personally, I think it probably needs to start looking at the midfield at some point too, instead of just relying on the wings, being able to have some attack straight through the middle too. But clearly something not working quite right. I still think I personally have the belief that Darren and Mika and Connor can figure it out, but it's not the high flying attack we've seen before. It is having to be a lot more of a kind of grind it out and hope you can get a goal and hope you can get the clean sheet along the way.
Yeah, it does very much feel as if like this. I don't know. Let me try to correct my thoughts. If right now I feel like this team is at that point where I guess they're like, they're overthinking it. And in terms of the overthinking it in the like of trying to find like the perfect chance, because they know like we haven't been clinical in front of goal, the chances aren't coming. So when we do get this chance, I forgot who said it. Oh God, I forgot who said it. They said it after the game, and it made perfect sense. It's kind of like they get in the perfect position to score the chance, but they see their name already in bright lights, and it's like as soon as that happens, they like clinch up and miss it. And it feels like that's constantly over and over again. Jenner, you can go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think one thing that I did notice, we had been saying, you know, we want to see him try, you know, Gordon and Belmar on the wing for Kazambi. He tried that, and I realized why it was probably never a good idea. Gordon and Belmar go hungry as well, and that's where I think our issue is. Look, who did we have as our wingers last year? Bolaños, and sometimes at the beginning of the season, it was Matt Bolduc, then it was Matt Bentley on the right, but you had Bolaños on that left side, who was not as interested in scoring as being a facilitator. His strongest suit was assist. Yes, he scored several goals, but he was looking to be that danger to create the space for Kazagi. We're looking at three guys in the front who all want to put the ball in the back of the net. And I think that's where our situation is right now. Our situation is right now, Terzaghi isn't getting service from the wings because the wingers, yes, they're trying to give him that service, but in the back of their mind, they want to put the ball in the back of the net first and foremost. They are just as goal hungry as he is. And when you have three guys in the front who are goal hungry primarily, that's when you struggle. That's when we're going to struggle to set who's going to be the main guy who we're looking for. And if he's not there, then I try and score. Or if he's not available, or if he's covered, or if he's covered, that means there's space for me. But these guys are all thinking, I'm bearing down on goal. And it's like, if I can't score, then I'll find Terzaghi, rather than I'll find Terzaghi, and if I can't find him, I'll score. It's flipped this year in terms of the direction, or in terms of the priority of our wingers. And I think that's where one of our issues may be. With why Terzaghi isn't getting the service he needs, because our midfield isn't really that much different than last year. Tuco rather than Ethan.
So I think it's more of the midfield, but I think it's more of a formation thing. Like two out of the three are the same. Suko's the part that's new. Not saying Suko is like the reason why this team is that finisher or creating chances. I think you might just need to slightly shift where they're at. Like, it might be a thing. Like, this might be the reason now. Let me see. If you guys remember. You guys remember in 2020? When we first got Neil? If we tried, like, Neil centrally?
21, yeah.
Yeah, it was 21. My fault. 21, we tried Neil centrally, and, like, it took a while to work. I think now, like, if you do it now, I think, because the biggest issue that I've had is Terzaghi's lack of mobility in terms of that. Like, he really is asked to be like a target forward, but he's really not mobile, like lateral quickness and whatnot. And I think if you put Neil centrally, at least there, you have at least someone running off of him there. Because like you said, Shanae,
yeah,
you have two wingers that are a little bit more attacking, but they're also spread out because Darren likes to have the thing wingers a little bit more spread out. I think Suko can do a job besides Vizaka, like as a double pivot. I mean, I don't know if that maybe I don't my fault. I don't know if that is that something that, you know, once again, we're not in practice. I don't know if that's something that Darren looking at is like, maybe the connectivity isn't there. But right now, I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of running out of ideas. Matt, you got anything?
Yeah. I don't know if I buy the whole idea that it's Gordon and Belmar issue, because Bentley's been worse than both of them, you know, so far this year.
Yeah, but like we said before, we've wanted to see Belmar as the nine because he seems more like a goal scorer than a facilitator.
Nobody's asked to see him at the nine because that means you're sitting Emmy, and that's not an option right now.
No, I've never said starting at the nine, but I said like he's a good guy to plug in the 72nd, 75th minute, but not as he doesn't seem in the way he plays. He doesn't seem like an out wide player. He seems like a more central up top player. So that is obviously why not really working out for him as a winger. But
I mean, he's also got three assists this year, and everybody else has done one. So he's still producing a lot more assists. What I'm seeing is a lot more the actual width, especially on the left side. When he's in there, it comes from Hornsby. So that's where a lot more of those crosses come in, and we see that a lot more than when we saw Stu or Simon out there last year. So I think that tilts things a little bit. It's going to sound bad, but no fault to Jake on there, but he's not bringing the same amount to the attack that Hornsby does when he's in there. And we like Simon, but he's getting better going forward, but he's still not as dynamic moving forward on the right.
Yeah.
As guys we've had.
He's more defensive minded.
Yeah, he's getting better there, but it still doesn't look like it's coming 100% naturally to him. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where part of it comes through. I see a lot of just missed crosses or easily cut out crosses this year.
You talking about Simon?
Everybody.
Oh, okay. My fault. I think you were still talking about Simon. Yeah.
I mean, everyone. Because, and then this is where I was leading to with my midfield point earlier that, Ellie, I think you're maybe, on the same page. I couldn't totally tell. Is none of our attacks seemingly ever go off the middle of the the field. It's always as far wide as we possibly can, and coaches in this league aren't idiots. I think they can figure out that they're going to go wide, and then let's make sure our guys are positioned to cut out crosses every single time.
Yeah,
and they're usually able to do that. We'll see a cross or two filter through every now and then. I think we've seen plenty that have been like half a step behind one of our guys this year, but we do get some of those that connect, like when Jao scored those couple goals down North Carolina, or on his first goal, or not his second goal, the one down in Greenville that he roofed at the end of that run. So it works sometimes, but just the pure quantity of it, we're not mixing up, we're not diversifying the attack. I'd love to see Suko or Neil or Zaka or even Dakota or Ani just try to play through ball straight down the gut, take a rip or two straight from 25. Like, I loved when Gordon took that shot. Like, was it going to go in? Almost certainly never, but he took that shot from 23, 24, and I think that can start to keep opponents honest a little bit more. And sometimes they go in, like when Zhao took that shot in North Carolina, sometimes it goes in.
Yeah.
Sometimes good things happen, like when he took the shot against Chattanooga and Emmy was able to, totally legit clean up the rebound.
No, I mean, in the second half, I won right outside of the box. I think it was kind of like looping, but the goalkeeper kind of made like a divey save to it. But yeah, shots outside of the box can create some chaos sometimes. My fault, Shane. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's fine. I'm glad you said that, Matt, because I think that is something that we have lacked. Just not necessarily just from midfield players, but just from our players, period, driving forward. There were so many situations, especially towards the end of the game, where Ford Madison were kind of sitting back, where our team had the ability to receive the ball and drive forward, drive down the middle, force them to collapse, force Ford Madison to have to make a decision defensively. But when it's get the ball, get it wide, switch, get it wide, and try and cross, I mean, all they have to do is just sit down and watch the ball go back and forth in the box, And now by the time you cross it, they've crowded the box. There's no option for it. So with that, I think we're on something here with Suko, and it may be something that he will grow into, but that was something that we saw a lot from Ethan Bryant last year. He reached a point where he didn't mind driving at the defense down the middle.
And I don't know the exact combination that would be best or make the most sense, but I think I'm ready to see Gamero get another run back in the team, because is it a perfect correlation causation sort of thing? Probably not, but we were scoring goals when he was in the midfield, and I think of any of them, he probably is the most likely to be able to play in that style. Where he's getting forward, maybe a little bit more adept at crashing the box quite right, anything of that nature. So, for personally, don't care if it's Neil, don't care if it's Suko, one of them, like go to the bench, for a game or two, and come in, as a sub for somebody else. Who knows? Maybe it's Gamero, maybe it's whichever of the other ones. We can determine that based on how the game's going, later on. But I think something's not quite working these last three games, and you gotta try something different.
I mean, like we said, like we were all saying earlier, like this game really changes if a goal is scored in that first half. Like it completely changes. But a goal wasn't scored, and it kind of just feels like right now the biggest difference is, like you said, Matt, it really comes down to which midfield you want to play. Suko feels. I can see the justification in playing Suko, and once again, I'm not bashing Suko. Like, I love him. I think he's a good player for this team. He's more consistent at doing, the little defensive minute details that Darren probably loves. Zhao is a little bit more of a wild card. Like, Zhao will roam. Zhao will go a little bit more north to south. Suko's a little bit more east to west. I don't know. I would love to see this team create more in the middle, like create more build-up play in the middle, because it felt like you said, everything's built out on the wings, and Madison, who was playing a back three with wing backs, it more or less played into their hand. Like, yeah, we took advantage of it for the first one because we were building a lot in the middle, more so in there and a half, but when we wanted to go out to the wings, we did because we forced them to creep up. But then in the second half, that wasn't working, and we weren't able to build on the wings or retain possession on the wings, and Madison was able to pretty much like, all right, cool, we can double up on Belmar and Gordon, tell Osimhen to just stick on Cezagi, and we're going to force you to pretty much build everything in the middle. And for mostly part of that second game, didn't feel like we were able to as much. I mean, if you had your pick, like, would you go back to the midfield? Granted, now we played one night, so whatever, we're going to talk about them. But would you go back to the midfield of Suko, Zhao, and Neil? Would you try that again? Okay.
No.
So Zaka is a must, right?
Zaka is what? Yeah, Zaka is a must. Yeah, I mean, he's our sixth. He's the guy who's going to protect that back line. He's the enforcer in there. You need him. Unfortunately, I think the player who I think we would sacrifice for Zhao is, I would say, is Suko. And again, I would say that depends on who we're playing. Because like you said, Zhao gives you more of the north to south movement. Suko gives you more of the east to west movement. Now, it depends on who we're playing. Now, in this game, I think Zhao would have worked better than Suko, because you're having a midfield five that we're playing against. You're not going to go around them as easily. So that north, that east to west movement is literally just dancing in front of a wall. So I think Zhao probably would have been a better suited for this game, as opposed to if we're playing against a team that's playing a 4-4-2 or something. Then you put in Suko to give you that movement to stretch the midfield and create pockets of space.
All right. My fault. You go ahead, man. Yeah,
wrap a little bit up. I don't think Zach is, you know, untouchable. We saw they performed without him, you know, after he got sent off. So I don't think he's like, you know, by any means locked in. For me, I'm sitting Neil right now. Yeah. He hadn't really brought much since he came back. And when the team was relatively humming in the attack, he wasn't in the team.
Yeah.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Real quick, we can go ahead and we'll talk about the goal after this. But, you know, I feel like right now, I think a lot of the fan base and a lot of us right now probably, like, this team just feel like it's in neutral, you know? Like, this team hasn't yet put together back-to-back wins. I don't think, Matt, correct me if I'm wrong, they haven't even put back-to-back draws together yet, have they?
Give me a second.
Well, you look at it. Shamir, I'm pretty sure you feel the same way. Like, this team right now feels like it's neutral. Like, they're not bad. Like, we're burn everything, everyone sucks. But they're not, like, high-flying, you know, oh, everything's great and good, you know?
No, and I think we're having a little bit of recency bias, especially when we think about the way things ended last season, the tail end of the season where everything was figured out and we were just killing it. And it was fun. It was enjoyable watching the Kickers play the way they played and winning the league so comfortably. But now I think we're in that growing pains again as we start the season. We're still trying to figure things out. As you can see, there was a lot less chump and change and tinkering going on towards the end of last season. But the season did begin with a little bit of switching around, and some players, you had Matt Bulldog. Where are we playing him? Are we playing him on the wing? Are we playing him in the midfield? Are we playing him at all? Where's Matt Bentley going to go? Is he going to come on for Terzaghi? Is he going to come out wide? There was still a lot of stuff figuring out. Is Ethan Bryant good enough? Can he play? Can he figure it out? By the time we got to the second half of the season, we figured out where we wanted everyone to be. Ethan Bryant had held down the number eight position, and he was just cooking in there, and that midfield three were buzzing.
I can't imagine we're going to find audio of us questioning if Ethan was ever good enough, even from the start of last year.
I do remember us talking about, can he handle it physically yet? Is he mature enough to handle it physically yet? I do remember us talking about that. And I think he switched up his game and kind of sped up his game where he avoided having to go into those physical battles because he knew I'm not quite there yet. I haven't got my weight up yet. So he adjusted his game to better himself. I do remember us talking towards the beginning of the season, like, Ethan Bryan is doing awesome, but I don't know if he can handle those physical battles, you know, with his frame. Yeah. And I think that was one thing that was questioned a little bit, just as a, Kenny, and he figured it out the same way the rest of the team figured it out. Bolaños figured it out, and by the end, we were clicking. So this is, I think we're going through the same thing right now, and we'll see if Darren figures it out in the second half of the season.
Yeah. Matt, we did draw Omaha and Greenville back-to-back.
Okay.
Just as a reminder, though, in the last year, last six games were draw, 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 win, draw.
Yeah.
So it's not like we were rolling everybody at the end of the year.
Yeah. Let's try to flip it back to a little bit of positive. You know, we talked about all the stuff that we kind of already know is there. Richmond added a new piece to this equation. Ryan Sarakowski started on the year at South Georgia Tormenta. As the league would love to tell you, he's played for four other teams in USL League One. Played for South Georgia Tormenta, played for Revs, played for Fort Madison. Now he's played for us. Also, fun fact, he is the fifth ever player to play between the two clubs for Madison and Richmond. Came on right around the 60th minute mark. I liked what I saw, not going to lie. Like, he came in, I think, kind of somewhat created two chances. Matt Jenner, what did y'all see from him? What did y'all think about his performance so far? No, it's only 30 minutes, but what do you guys think?
I mean, not much stood out to me. Like, I'm trying to think back what these chances were that you're talking about, and because I can only think of one actual chance the whole second half, and that involved Emmy and Simon, and not in the order that you want them to be involved in.
Yeah, I feel like there was a shot near post that he kind of helped create.
I mean, maybe, but...
Maybe I'm just trying to pull a chance. I just stood out to him because I know he was on the field for it.
Yeah, I don't think... There's nothing seemed to actively bad or wrong in his first half hour of play, but I don't... I'm confident that he'll have some standout moments. I don't think it was on Saturday.
Better question. If you're Darren, why do you go out and get help? And I'm not saying this is a bad thing. I'm just trying to have, like, deeper level thinking about this. Like, what does he bring to the team to help, push us forward to that next level? Because he is, like, the crazy thing is, he is, like, an MLS draft pick. Like, so there is some level of talent there,
I think it gives us a little more variety in the midfield, more options in terms of how to play in the midfield. Like we were talking about with Zuko and Gomiro, he's another type of center midfielder. And when you have different types, you can mix and match. And I think you're the best situation is bring the tools for the job. And if you have an array of tools, whatever job you have to do, you go and pick the tools that matter for the job. So I think he just wants a little bit more variety in the midfield of how we can play, how we can set up.
Yeah, he's not a midfielder, though. He's a forward winger.
If he's playing midfield, we are in desperate trouble.
Yeah,
he plays wing. Yeah, he's playing winger. Striker? Is he playing striker? I felt like there was a striker.
No, he came in for Belmar.
Belmar. But no. I'm saying, like, he's played striker before in League One.
Yeah, he was playing for the Revs because he started at the Revs. Then he was involved that year where, like, midseason they just randomly decided to loan him to Madison.
He
caught fire there. He was with Tormenta a lot last year, too, and didn't do a whole lot for them there. But that doesn't always mean anything in this league. Yeah. I saw him play at Michigan State. He was always kind of a big body forward. There he can move a little bit, scored quite a bit at Big Ten level. Personally, he's never been my favorite player, having watched him since he was like 19, 20 years old. But he's one of those guys where you watch him like, okay, this guy, but somehow keeps producing. For me, I was always like, how's this guy keep getting it done? Like, this guy, really? Yeah. That sort of thing. So I'm hoping that carries over and maybe being able to watch him a little more closely now that he's here with us, it'll click for me of why it keeps happening. But the key takeaway is that it's happened for him consistently. And that's what Darren was talking about. He's somebody who everywhere he goes, he keeps producing goals, produces assists. And like we spent the last 20 minutes talking about, he's doing that right now.
But I think we don't have a big enough sample size yet. I mean, 30 minutes.
Oh, no, absolutely.
In a game.
But, I think we just got started Thursday or Wednesday?
Or at least officially. I mean, he's here before that.
But,
But I mean, in terms of when he officially joined practice, joined training, that's not that long ago. So we'll see how he beds in. We'll see what happens. To be honest with you, I'm not too sure if Darren has a nailed on position for him, or if he's here as a squad player so far and then we'll see what happens kind of situation. In my opinion, that's how I would approach it. And like, okay, we bring this guy in who can probably do a job for us here, probably do a job for us there, and we'll see where he beds in. We'll see where he shows he's needed, because we might think, oh, well, yeah, he can go on the wing, he can do this, and we've seen Darren take players, put them in the position that we would suspect they're supposed to be in, and then that doesn't really work out, and he plugs them somewhere else, and we're like, oh, that worked. So,
I think the best takeaway of this signing is hopefully the end of random central midfielder playing on the wing, because now we got four guys in two spots instead of three.
Yeah, thank you.
Because boy, he know what to do out there. It's been about 40 minutes, and we're finally going to talk about the goal that happened. Yeah, you know, we had to dull the pain out.
We've been trying to avoid it.
I mean, it's not much to avoid. first of all, goal happens. I mean, not the goal happens.
Well, it
happens because Gordon takes a foul in the midfield, which I don't blame him for. Like, I think our biggest thing, Matt, was stop fouling in front of the box, which the kickers didn't do. I'm really proud of them about that. They fouled at the halfway line. But on the preceding free kick, Dakota gets, I forgot who he got locked up with, but I can't tell if he gets a touch on her or not. It looked like he does. But while that's happening, if you look at the ensuing run, Payne pretty much makes a run to the inside. And Jake Meacham is supposed to be tracking him. Jake gets caught ball watching at that moment. And you can really see the inexperience there, because where Meacham is, his body, because Payne starts his play on the outside. And while Payne is drifting in, Meacham is still watching, where the ball is going. And it's kind of like one of those things where, I'm pretty sure you guys all play basketball, you guys get caught looking like where the ball is at, and now following the man that's running behind you, and he gets open for a wide open three. That's pretty much what happened here, because Payne was, I'd probably say, all of 8 yards away from Akira by the time he hits this ball on the back of the net, and Akira couldn't do anything to that ball at that moment. It was as simple as that, guys. Like, it really just felt like, because I mean, up until that point, it felt like this game was going to end 0-0. Like, or if anybody was going to score, it was going to have to be somebody who's going to have to take this game by the scruff of the neck. And unfortunately, Matt Madison did. But am I boiling this go down too easily? Like, was there more to it than what I'm describing it as?
I don't think so. I think you pretty much nailed it. One thing that I do look at with regards to this goal is position responsibility and position tendency. So Meacham is a fullback, and I think this shows a sense of rigidity in a lot of our players, and also a very, very smart move from Stephen Payne. To cut inside and bring himself completely into the middle of the field as a wingback, drawing Meacham into unfamiliar territory. And that is also, I think Meacham only takes part of the blame with this, because that is also created by Dakota continuing to follow the ball. So, who was it? I think it was, which player was that? I think it was Channy who brings the ball down, or attempts to bring the ball down.
Yeah.
Dakota sticks his foot around him and pokes the ball away. Now, rather than dropping into his shape, knowing that he's not going to win that ball, he follows the ball and follows the player who's going to cross the ball. Because he does that, Meacham has no choice but to come inside. Whether he was following Payne or not, he would have to come inside and play center back until Dakota can come back to center back. So for right now, for all intents and purposes, when the ball gets to that player who crosses, I'm not sure who it was, who crossed it. I don't know if it was Batista. No.
The only reason why I know it is
Bartman.
It was Bartman. The only reason Bartman. Why I know it was Bartman is because when they were celebrating, Bartman looked me in my eyes. He was like, "Sorry, bro." I was
like, "Sorry." Yeah. So Bartman. But at the moment Bartman crosses the ball, in all intents and purposes, Dakota is the left back and Meacham is the center back. And you could see by the way Meacham set up, he was trying to mimic a center back. You could, his positioning and his body language was, I'm trying to act like a center back without thinking of, yeah, but I also need to stay with my man. And I think if Dakota pokes that ball and then holds back, I think Meacham then turns around, leaves Payne, and pressures the cross, leaving Dakota to do his familiar job of marking whoever's in the box.
What'd you say?
No, because the way that ball moved, the way things moved around, Dakota could have, you poke, and there's no way the guy you poke the ball away from is getting to that ball. And you have Zaka was coming back. So you can leave that man for Zaka and drop back into your position. Now, if you drop back into your position and Meacham just continues to barrel in there, then that's completely on Meacham. But in this situation, Meacham has to drop into unfamiliar territory. And when he drops into unfamiliar territory, that's where the mistake comes.
Zaka's not anywhere close enough to that play to make a difference on anything. I just watched it back 5 times. You're right. Dakota.
No. I'm not talking about to the ball. I'm talking about to the man that Dakota poked the ball away from.
Right. That's what I'm saying. You know, Dakota pokes it from Chaney, but Barman's right there with nobody anywhere near him. You know, Meacham's never getting there. Dakota's the only one who can even put a little bit of pressure on him. Chaney's not in the play at that point. Meacham still lost track of Payne. He was caught in no man's land at that point. And Dakota's never going to be able to make it back because all that happens within a second and a half. Whoever lost Bartman in the first place, because that guy was wide open, nobody anywhere near him.
Yeah. It just felt like if one domino fell, the other domino fell. Like it's kind of like a chain reaction thing. One thing led to the other, would led to maybe wide open.
Yeah, that's the situation that I'm looking at. Who was supposed to be marking Bartman? Because Meacham can't be marking Bartman. He's supposed to be on Payne.
That's the break.
That goes back to Payne cutting inside, completely taking Meacham away from that wing. And in that situation, with how quickly the play is moving, how do kickers organize to get somebody out on that wing? There's no way. And so.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move along from that. Let's talk about why Stephen Payne's a coward.
His no goal celebration?
Yeah. All right. Look, legitimate. Nice hit. Good. Well taken goal. I'll give him that part. Okay. You want to do the, I'm not celebrating. I'm not celebrating. I think that's lame to begin with. You're a professional soccer player. You score a goal, celebrate it. Yeah. Fine. You cannot, in good faith, I'm not celebrating. I'm not celebrating while running right at the opposing fans who you're not celebrating in front of.
Yeah.
Own it or don't own it. Play half and half. Be a man, step up, talk your S to all of us and, have it be good in that case. Yeah. Because if you don't want to celebrate, you can just turn around and walk back to midfield. You don't have to somehow find your way right over to the corner flag right in front of the fan.
That is true. Also, I just want to say this. Whoever slightly tossed the beer forward, don't do that. Don't do that in Section O. Don't do that. We're not trying to have all the Section O suspended for something stupid that you did. Please don't do that. The last 12 minutes, guys, I'm not going to lie, I didn't see a way for Richmond to get back in it.
Almost happened.
Well,
like I was saying earlier, Emmy and Simon linked together well, just in the wrong order than what you'd want it to be.
It is the wrong order. Simon would have made that. He definitely would have been a legend. I mean, this game ends 1-0. You can see the disappointment in the guys' faces. I want to ask you guys this question because I think this is something that's that I've been thinking about a lot. Because first, my frustration was with Darren, and I was like, "Oh, most of the blame lays in Darren's feet." But you know, having 2 days off and thinking about it, rewatching the game, I'm kind of at this point now where I'm like, "Is what more can Darren do?" You know, because we talked about it before, like outside of what. Meacham, Succo, and Belmar, most of this team's been here for 2-3 years plus. Like, most of the team knows what to do. Or even when they get in these moments, like, how did they get, you know, how did they get past this adversity? And this team right now is caught in an adverse moment. I'm kind of looking at the players like, it's time for y'all to step up and make something happen. And it just feels like right now at this moment, it doesn't, like, I don't know if I can look at him in that team and be like, all right, he's going to pull this team by the scruff of their neck and, you know, get them through this moment. Trezaghi's been there and done it, but I don't know how much more, like, you can keep going to that well for him, you know, especially if he's not getting the service.
So. Especially when he's not getting the service, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like, so do most of this blame lay at the player's feet, where it's like, it's on y'all. Like, y'all got to fix this.
I mean, I think it can be both.
Yeah, no, right. It definitely can be both. But I'm saying, like, it feels like more now, like, I guess I'm saying, like, do the players need to have a players meeting where they're like, yo, we got to fix this. Like, we got to get this right, you know?
I mean, I can understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, you can take some of it on the coaching staff, you know, side too, you know, because we just spent half an hour talking about game planning and how, you know, the team's becoming predictable. Yeah, you know, things like that. So, you know, does that come down to, you know, the ideas that the coaching staff is trying to drill into them, and are they, you know, drilling too predictably? I'm not a trainer; I don't know these, yeah, you know, sort of things. But I think there's a reasonable and logical argument for that side of it too. So, and then of course the bigger picture of, well, coaching staff chose the players, so ultimately it comes back to them anyway because players aren't working, they pick those players.
Yeah, that's true. It did. They did pick them. And we talked about them in praise.
Yeah, I think this is a situation of like you said, Matt, both. I think the players probably need to have a mentality of relearning. And I think with regard to the coaching staff, I think it's a work in progress of figuring out the link between that midfield and front line. I think that's where our issue is. We know our back line. Our back line is solid. Hornsby, Dakota, Nate, Simon. That's our back line. And you can plug Meacham in if someone needs a rest or someone's injured. He will do a good job. He will do well. And that back four is solid. Akira, he's in there. Will can definitely deputy for him comfortably. But that midfield, we know 2 out of 3 are solid, but 2 out of 3 in the midfield and only 1 out of 3 in the front are sure things. That leaves a whole half of that front 6 that we're not quite sure about. That's a big, big hole in the organization of the team. When you're looking at, we've got our striker, we've got our 6, and we've got our 10. We're missing an 8, a 7, and an 11. Like, we're literally missing really understanding what our 2 wingers are supposed to do and really being able to cement a good number 8 in that center midfield to connect Zaka and Neil. So I still think we're a work in progress. I know it's June, but it's still a work in progress.
Yeah. And I mean, like, honestly, like, once again, like, I know we've been getting on the wingers all season long, but I still, like, it's not like this team isn't working hard. It's not like they're not trying. And, like, if this team scores a goal, right, the complexity of this game is totally different. It's a totally different game. You know, but goal's not going in, so you start to sit there and question and figure it out. Matt, I'm going to toss it over to you. Are we doing top threes? Are we going to do them?
I mean, God, you can't just pretend a game didn't happen, unfortunately.
You can.
I mean,
we always can. Nah, but you're right. All right. I'll toss it over to you, buddy, so we can do our top threes.
All right. Well, yeah, not a lot to talk about on this one, so I'm just going to blow through mine real fast. Akira, 3. Zaka, I gave 2. And Simon, 1, because who else am I going to pick?
Yeah. Shinner, you want to go next?
I'm giving Akira the 3 points. I think Zaka deserves the 2. And I think I'm going to give my 1 point also to Simon. He was solid. When you don't have to hear too much about a fullback, that means they did a solid job, and he was solid.
Yeah. I'll give all right. I'll give my 3 to Ani. He did a solid job shutting down Chaney for the most part. And I forget who was the other striker to start off with. But he did a good job there. Yeah, he did a good job. 2, I'll give it to Fitch. 1, I will give it to Section O because we were loud and we were proud.
Like a player.
I'll give it to Akira because he came back to defy the odds because I thought he was going to miss 3 weeks. I'll give it to Akira.
Also, he actually played well.
Yeah, he did. He actually did, man. Like, that dude ages like fine wine, man. And
that's what my
question.
Vegetarianism and yoga and all that stuff that he does will do for you.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I know what.
Question: how old was Ronnie when he retired? Like, when he stopped playing? Not talking about him on the bench, but when he stopped playing.
Give me a second.
I feel like he was like 34, 36.
He was here for 12 years, so.
Yeah.
Here.
Well, you're looking that up.
Yeah, he would have been 30. Hold on. I'm trying to do math in my head.
Da-da-da.
35 or 36, I think.
Okay. All right. So, yeah. I mean, the way how Akira's going, he could definitely keep playing into that, man.
He's not that far off now.
Yeah, no. What is he? I feel like Akira's 32. Is he older than that?
Give me a sec.
Oh, God.
No, Akira's born in 87, so he's turning 36 next month? Wow.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. He's my age. Jeez.
Never would have guessed that. Okay. Well.
That makes me feel bad.
Yes, your dreams failed.
Yeah, I don't need to hear this from y'all.
Oh, all right. Let's go ahead and talk about it. We got another former Richmond kicker coming back this upcoming Saturday. One Knox, Jalen Chrysler is coming back with them. What are we expecting from this game? You know, boys got a week to kind of sit in this, let it stew. I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of expecting them to come out guns blazing. Like, I'm expecting an intense 20, 30 minutes. I'll be really shocked if we come out there flat and devoid of energy, just based on how this game went, how they looked, kind of walking over there to Section O, some of the post-game stuff that we talked about, and also Darren has actually to kind of embed Ryan Sarakowski into the squad even more. Hope it holds me healthy, because like you said, Matt, you bring an excellent point. Like, he does bring a lot to that left handed side and able to kind of drive forward in that attack. What are you guys expecting from this team against One Knox?
I was going to say I am hopeful for the kicker's performance and potentially feel bad for One Knox. I always think about it in terms of when you have a juggernaut of a team in a league and they lose to somebody. Whenever, like, let's say, for example, you're a Man City lose to, I don't know, Fulham. I'm always looking at the schedule. Who are they playing next? I feel bad for that team because they're going to end up being the whipping boys. And I think in this situation, by the way the players look at the end of this game, I think one knock need to watch out. They might end up being the whipping boys and the punching bag for the Kickers after the disappointing loss in the Henny Derby. So I'm hoping that's how it turns out. They come out, like you said, Elliot, guns blazing, just taking it to them, go straight for the haymaker, and try and get the ball in the back of the net as early as possible and keep them on their heels.
Early and put this game away. Matt,
I don't think that's happening, though.
Probably not.
No, well, you know, you look at just the stats, Knoxville plays lower scoring games than we do.
Yeah, they do.
Right, so I would not expect a shootout here. I mean, they don't have much prolific, you know, attacking stats. You know, old friend Jake Keegan is their top scorer, but most of those are penalties. Like, they've gotten 5 penalties already this year.
Yeah, which is wild. Ooh. That is wild. They do.
Sorry, 6 penalties, actually. They made 5. You know, so that's where a lot of their, you know, attack is coming from. So I think it's going to be a rock fight. You know, I think, you know, it's, you know, might be a set piece sort of situation. Maybe, you know, good old Jalen will pay it forward with all of his, you know, freaking own goals from last year and make things right.
I would love that because I'm tired of Virginia Kickers players playing against us deciding, you know what? I'm going to pretend I'm in the Ballon d'Or. Right. Ronnie Kraft tried that already this year. Payne definitely did. Like, I'm tired of it.
Yeah, turn on your own. Yeah, turn back the clock. Put another one in your own net this weekend, Jalen. Everybody will be happy.
Just do it for us. Do it for us, buddy. So, Richmond right now are in the middle of a little home stretch. Next 3 out of 4 games are at home. The only road game is that is against Union Omaha. Also, guys, we'll be at the halfway point of the season. We'll be game 15. So I'm assuming we'll probably do our midseason awards next week.
Play 32 this year, my man.
Oh, so we're
do it 1 week later.
Yeah, we'll do it 1 week later. Never mind, folks. we'll talk about that next week. Guys, anything else before we wrap up today's show from y'all?
The turnout was pretty good.
Who was the attendance? I never saw it.
4,902. So what we can really take away from this is nobody actually wants to see Madison play soccer.
Yeah.
You know, worst crowd of the year.
Yeah. Just 100 short of last night.
And then just, look, a couple things, you know, imagine, okay, they won. Sure. They won the same game last year. How'd that end up? You're working out for everybody. Yeah, so.
Right? I'm trying to remember. Wasn't last year's game kind of in the same fashion as well? Like, wasn't it a set-piece goal?
No, Suko, you know, they gave the goal to Suko, but he basically banked it in off of Jalen's leg.
That's right.
Yeah.
One of the own goals you were talking about.
No, technically that one. I think technically they gave that one to Suko.
Yeah.
Okay. So it was on target even before it hit Jalen's leg.
Yeah. All right.
Maybe. So there's that. So I don't think we're going to finish first this year, but I'll still make that trade-off, you know, of sacrificing that game for the greater good, if that's what it takes.
Yeah.
You know, long-term.
I want the trophy at the end of the playoffs this year.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I know you have, you know, emotional attachment to, you know, the Henny Trophy. I'll take the other ones over that every day of the week.
Madison fans were still trying to make, like, oh, well, we won the Henny Derby last year, and I celebrated the lead title at your place.
Yeah, we won the football backups. What up?
Right. I celebrated with backups.
Yeah. I think, you know, trash talking's fun, right? You know, I definitely, you know, threw some red meat out there on Friday or Saturday.
Yeah.
Talk trash back. That's fine. It's a little weak when you wait till after the result and after you've won to actually, you know, start chirping or replying. Like, come at it before. You know, carries a lot more weight, a lot more you know, later on, you know, if you do actually win, then
yeah.
So,
well, that just shows one thing. That shows fair weather fans, and they don't have faith in their team. It's only after the result is sure that they want to talk.
I can take losing to people from Madison. I refuse people from Chicago, LA, and all these other cities all of a sudden become Madison fans trying to talk trash to me. Like, no, absolutely
yeah.
not.
Yeah, LA, what's up with all your crew who, you know, come in and they're all but I think one posted up with the Madison fans?
They're posers.
We are the only real friends.
That's because he's from DC, which apparently to USL broadcasters is the reason why Richmond is now a soccer city. And Terzaghi's name is Terzaghi. It was bad. The broadcast was bad, by the way. He made that name.
I don't want to talk about the commentator and the broadcaster.
You are just Richmond fans. We don't have a name.
I mean, technically correct, but
yeah. We're just Richmond fans.
It's the Henny Derby. It's the Henny Derby. That made me. I was like, okay, I can't.
It was bad. But I think this is I think this is the point of the show where we're gonna put a pin on it because we're about to get into silly hours, and I think no one wants to listen to that. So. Listeners, as always, we just want
to
say
find out they do, and they don't really want to listen to all the other hour stuff. They just want to hear this nonsense.
Probably so. Probably. If you want to hear more of these conversations, come to the tailgates. We have them starting at 4, as always. But with that being said, guys, it's a pleasure to do the show, John. I just want to say thank y'all for doing this with us. We are about 200 listens away from cracking 20,000, so that's impressive. And the YouTube is growing. So if you love seeing these three beautiful faces plus Gabe's, go check us out on YouTube at River City 93. You can stay up to date with the show at rivercity93.com where we try to be putting out more articles because now it's summer. I have a little bit of more free time. So we'll try that. The top 30 list. Someone asked me about it this weekend. Was like, are you guys still doing the top 30 list? And I was like, yeah.
No. Or another one sometime soon, maybe.
We'll try. But outside of that, listeners, we just want to say thank you for taking the time out of your day, for supporting us, for supporting the show, and also supporting the Kickers. So with that being said, for Shanair, Matt, and myself, we will holler at you guys next week. As always, up the ruse.